Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is from Isaiah 60, including verse 7. Here again, the portion that reads, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." You may be seated. Today we gather here for the first time this year. Last Sunday was a storm. We were stormed out and kind of been gray for a long time, hasn't it? A little bit of sunshine peeking through once in a while. And yet today is the day that we celebrate, that we observe Epiphany. That light of the world being revealed to us, yes, Jesus Christ, we celebrate during the gray and the latter days of this world so that we would be the light of this world. That is what Isaiah proclaimed. It has been once said that you don't know how bright the light is until you know the darkness. These are the three aspects that Isaiah brings to us this morning. The darkness of creation, the darkness of Joseph, and then the bright future of God's people. Arise! Arise, shine, for your light has come! But Lord, it's so dark, and death is overcoming me. Arise, shine. It doesn't seem too likely, does it? You would rise up and shine during the time of Isaiah. Oh, it was getting very dark. Isaiah had just gotten done prophesying in the first 39 chapters about the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem, yes, even of their own country, that those people would be deported. Not after the king of Assyria came and destroyed their brothers and sisters in northern Israel, but they'd be deported. And the Davidic kingdom would be broken off. Arise, shine. With that kind of news? Yes, arise and shine, but there is nothing left. Arise, shine. Remember the descendants of Abraham. Yes, for us, by faith, that's who we are, right? But for them, the descendants of Abraham? Yes, by bloodline. But look who Isaiah brings up. Why? Why do you remind us of those other relatives? The descendants of Abraham through Hagar, the Ishmaelites, such as Kedar and Nebaioth, and through Keturah, Midian and his son Ephah. Oh, Isaiah, how could you bring up those kind of relatives during such a dark time? That's not positive at all. Oh, we remember the Ishmaelites and the Midianites. Do you? Remember? As they came as a caravan? Past the 12 brothers? Oh, yeah. They're the ones that took our brother to Egypt. That took Joseph to Egypt and sold him to the Egyptians. Yep. They were intent to sell gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we sold our brother into slavery. We remember why he was sold, why we threw him into the well. And then after we threw him in the well, we ate and drank and had a good old time. Yeah. Now, his brother Reuben, he went ahead He pleaded for Joseph's life and had him thrown into the pit. His brother Judah, instead of killing Joseph, no, he begged that he would at least be sold, because why should his blood be on his brother's hands? Our lives are spared, and so we live. But what comes after today? Just more challenges, more difficulties. How angry it makes us that we have so many enemies, even in our own families. Among our own relatives, the whole world at times seems to be against us. Just like it was for Joseph, right? He was spared so many times, wasn't he? Instead of being killed by his brothers, he's spared but sold into slavery. He gets to end up working for Potiphar, makes his way up the ladder, but he gets accused and thrown into prison. Two gentlemen, he speaks about his dreams, and he's hopeful that they'll remember, but one is executed and the other forgets. Spared so many times just to fall into another death trap. Rise, shine. You know, sometimes our enemies get what comes to them, right? Well, you remember Joseph's brothers? Ah, yes. Finally a famine comes on the land and they have to go to Egypt to beg to buy food, right? Finally, they're going to get what they deserve. That's what life is like. Sometimes we have to go to our enemy just to survive. The bank, if we don't go ahead, our creditors, if we don't go ahead and pay them off, they can take what we have, can't they? Government, taxes go up. And it seems like they have a way of manipulating so that as you get close to the end of life, it just costs more and more and just sucks us dry so that there's nothing left to pass on to the next generation. We entrust our lives to doctors who handle the scalpel and medical people who take care of us or are supposed to take care of us when we can't. But sometimes they forget and don't really want to. And how many lives have been lost by careless acts? Oh, how dark it is. The nights are so long. But God knows. God knows, because here Isaiah uses the word for darkness that is at the beginning of creation. Not just darkness, but utter darkness. No light. The time when there was no light at all. No plants. No animals. No human being, just darkness. But God made the light shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Remember Joseph, how he became a light in Egypt and by the wisdom that God gave to him was able to feed the Egyptians. And by then, also, the family of his brothers were able to buy food. Yes, he is the light, because God, his God, is the light in the dark, life in the shadow of death. And Joseph arose and shined in his dark world. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Jesus Christ, the true light for us. Jesus, who was born as our brother, and yet as God, worshipped with gold, frankincense and myrrh. And yet, what do we find? Even though he's born in a stable, and then eventually Joseph moves his family into a house, and those from the east bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, he has to escape to Egypt. He lives in the shadow of Herod's death. But death. Yes, and then His family moves back, and his son still reigns, and so they move to Nazareth. Isaiah calls it the land of darkness, of deep darkness. And this Jesus now becomes the light. And as he speaks to the mute, they speak. He speaks to the blind, and they see. Jesus becomes the light in their dark world. And each day becomes a new day for that person that Christ touched. And yet what do his own brothers, his own people do? They seek to kill him. But unlike Joseph, they put him to death. He took their darkness upon himself and shed his own blood. Not a substitute like his brothers did when they showed their father, his colored coat, right? His own blood. For 3 days, he was in darkness, deep darkness of death. And yet the darkness could not hold him, and he rose from the dead. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Today, this very Jesus Christ, who is greater than Joseph, greater than any loss that any one of us has ever experienced, greater than death itself. Today, Jesus Christ gives himself for you. He gives you the word, arise, shine. You know, when Isaiah spoke those words, he expected something to happen. He expected that those words would carry the very power for them to arise and to shine. Just like God, when he spoke, and there was light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Yes, the very word spoken, and it was spoken to Mary, and she was pregnant. Spoken, and all these things happened, in, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And now, through the waters of baptism, we have become his very light. As it says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the marvelous deed of who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This Jesus is all that we need. In 1 Peter 1:4, it declares what we are given, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So we wait for those gifts. You have seen how we can collect all kinds of stuff, but if we don't have Jesus, we'll lose it all. But in Jesus, if we lose everything, even our very own life, we have eternity. It belongs to us. We have the riches of heaven. And so we live this out by faith. We live as lights, even in the darkness. We live as lights, even when family comes against us. We live as light, even when the world comes against us, because we know who we belong to. Arise, shine, for your light has come. These are not just words. These are life-giving words. Isaiah expected by those words to give those who are living in darkness hope. Why? Because God expects that when he speaks, things will happen. When he says there will be light, there is light. Light in the darkness. And so today in the darkness of the sin of our lives, he speaks those life-giving words of forgiveness. We who were once dead in our transgressions, dead in the darkness of our sin, to be living lights in him. And now today, he comes to feed us. As we make this journey in our world, we only see bread and wine. But there, by his word, he gives of himself, his very body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the food that we receive by his word to keep on going, to keep on this pilgrimage until that time when there will be no more darkness, when there will be the light that we live. Arise, shine, for your light has come in your brother and our God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.